Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's going on? It's Ryan. Welcome to another episode of the Best of the DA Show here. Our cold open. Commanders players are afraid of their new offense coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. We have your best audio of the day in soundcheck, including Lance Lynn, who seemingly confirms the stories that the White Sox are a hot, flaming piece of garbage. On top of that, Andrew Bogish sat down with USA Today's Bob Nightingale to talk about the playoff push coming in the MLB. Finally, you have Champ and Chomp and your epic fail. Let's go.
We begin back in that NFL. Eric Bieniemy, still not an NFL head coach, no longer in Kansas City. He is now in Washington running the Commanders offense. Maybe his best and last audition to finally get one of those head coaching jobs. And depending on how you process this story, it's either going well or it's not going well at all for Eric Bieniemy in Washington. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Yeah, I mean, they have. And I had a number of guys come to me and I said, hey, just go talk to him. I said, understand what he's trying to get across to you, you know. And I think as they go and they talk and they listen to him, it's been enlightening for a lot of these guys. Again, you get a different kind of player from the players back in the past, especially in light of how things are coming out of college football. So a lot of these young guys, you know, they do struggle with certain things.
And you got to understand, we're in a grown man's business. We're in a grown man's world. My job is to make sure that I'm doing the best possible job of over-communicating clarity. I take a tremendous amount of pride in that. They also know when I'm getting on them, ain't nothing personal. What's personal is that I want us to win. I expect that particular player to be great at all times. I expect the effort to be a standard that's accepted by all of us. So when you're not reaching that, it's my job to address it. So sometimes they may like the highlights and the praise, but sometimes they may not like it. And I'm perfectly fine with that because that's my job. Because if I ain't doing my job, my ass get fired.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Uh-oh, in Washington. That was Eric Bieniemy and his new boss, Ron Rivera, in your cold open. So the backstory is a handful of Washington Commanders players think that Eric Bieniemy is too mean and too tough and yells too much. So much so that they went to Ron Rivera to pseudo-complain about their new offensive coordinator, which led to Rivera, A, revealing that, and then, B, defending Bieniemy yesterday, and Bieniemy defending Bieniemy yesterday as well, and did so often talking about himself in the third person, which is always a cool trick. So that is, those are the facts. The key is where you go with those facts. There's one of two ways. You go, man, those players are soft. That really, just a couple of training camp practices in, they're so unaccustomed and so unready for another grown man to be yelling at them, not doing a good enough job on the football field, that they went to the boss and complained about it. And then you can certainly keep going back and saying, well, that's why they're the Commanders. That's why they have struggled. That's why they haven't been great. That's why they needed a new offensive coordinator. That maybe they're not cut out to be great, to be elite, to win that division, whatever. Or you can go in the other direction and go, this is why Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach somewhere. And whatever it is now, 15 interviews for 14 jobs, 16 for 15, it's a lot. And somewhere nestled in all of those no's to Eric Bieniemy is the bigger problem the NFL faces. And that we discussed that yesterday quickly with Mike Vrabel letting Terrell Williams, his assistant head coach and D-line coach, run the team this weekend in a preseason game, really all letting him have a job audition, basically trying to push along him and other minority head coaches to get jobs that these guys deserve. And Bienemy has been, he's the guy in that discussion right now. And whatever is built in, racism, ignorance, like those things are in play to some extent with Bienemy. But the tough part of the conversation has always been, it's not exclusively that. Part of this is about Eric Bienemy. He has a history of off-field issues that some teams cannot forget or move on or don't want to deal with any kind of PR questions about that. Obviously, some jobs, it was just wasn't a fit between him and the GM and the owner, and that happens. And then there's also the things that we wonder about with Eric Bieniemy specifically as a coach, where he wasn't technically running the Chiefs offense. He wasn't calling plays. He didn't have that experience. And also how he handles his business. And here's a look at how he handles his business, is that he's a yeller. Now, the things I appreciated in the story and in the retelling and the rundown of everything was that as hard as his Bieniemy might be and as mean and degrading and demeaning as he might be at times, there's also a lot of loud praise as well. You can yell. It's not the way I would do it. It's not the way, not the coach I'd want to react to if I was a player. That wouldn't work well with me. But if you're going to yell, if you're going to be mean, if you're going to call guys out, you also need to balance it out 50-50 with telling them how good they're doing. And that's got to be just as loud as the negative stuff is. And that appears to be the way Eric Bieniemy does his job, but it's still loud. There's still negativity. There's still maybe a demand for expertise and execution and commitment. And my first thought was this was more about the Commanders, that this is about the guys on the roster, that this explains why they've had different types of shortcomings in recent memory. I mean, it's different personnel for sure and multiple coaches, but this has not been anywhere close to a good offense since 2017, 5-6 seasons of being in the bottom third of both points and yards. So production on offense because of quarterbacks and injuries and bad coaching and bad draft picks and bad personnel decisions have all spun together to make this far from an elite unit, which is why Eric Bieniemy is there now. But it's startling to hear in the middle of August, barely, that guys are already bothered by it or confused by it to the extent where they're going to Ron Rivera and saying, why is he so mean to us? It feels like that's about them and not about him, at least from where I sit. But Ron Rivera did talk about yesterday, you know, that Jack Del Rio, who runs his defense, does things differently because Jack has been a head coach and he understands that not everybody responds to the same form of coaching. Some guys need to be yelled at. Some guys need to be hugged and have things whispered into their ear or need the positive reinforcement more than pointing out the negatives. And that Eric maybe will learn that in time, but Eric's been doing this for a long time. You'd think by now, being around the Chiefs for at least for so long and all the different guys he's come in contact there, that he'd have maybe a slightly softer hand. And there are a lot of people around the NFL right now who think Eric Bieniemy not being a head coach is more about Eric Bieniemy than the institution of the NFL or GMs and owners. And again, their ignorance, short-sighting, racism, however you want to describe it, that this is further proof of why he has struggled to get a job, because he rubs a lot of people the wrong way and he's a lot to handle. And maybe as in being the head coach in charge of everybody, that's not the voice you want to run your organization. There's some truth in there. But to me, this is more about the Commanders and those players not being prepared for this and maybe needing to hear this. And I think somewhere along the way, this will flip into, yeah, we did need that. I'm glad it happened. Boy, what was your first reaction when you read this story yesterday? Who did you think this told more about, the players or the coach?
Honestly, kind of 50-50. You know, the Zoomers, as you like to call them, as we like to call them, Gen Z, this younger generation, has been you know, described as being soft time and time again, that they're just looking for handouts, and that the, you know, everybody in college athletics now, if they don't get the playing time they want right away as freshmen, they transfer. They don't know how to deal with adversity. But there also is a kind of a dark past for Eric Bieniemy. A lot of off the field stuff, as you mentioned, and then you have that with all the racism that was obviously embedded in him not getting a head coaching job for years, but also never called the plays for the Chiefs. What was his actual big-time role with the Chiefs offense? Was it game planning? Was it preparation? Was it helping Andy redesign some of the plays? So this is his first big gig now, and he's got a rookie quarterback, a fifth-round draft pick. I think this is who a lot of his quote-unquote intensity is about. I think he is on Sam Howell's ass trying to get him ready, because he said, you heard Bieniemy speak a lot, and Ron Rivera, a lot of the leaders on the offense. Who's the leader on the offense? It's the quarterback. And you've got a 22, 23-year-old quarterback, fifth-round draft pick, rookie, who you're expecting to step up this year. That's who I think he's being a hard ass on more than anything. It's the quarterback, Sam Howell, and maybe he's not responding well to it. Maybe he's not having a great camp. I haven't been locked into Commander's camp so far. I don't know how he's been doing on a day-to-day basis. But they're basically giving him the job and saying, Jacoby Brissett, you're going to be the backup for the eighth straight year in a row running until somebody gets hurt or if Sam Howell's a bust. So I think that's what this is. I think the relationship between Eric Bieniemy, the OC, with the first big leadership role in his life and calling the plays and running the offense, and a fifth-round draft pick rookie quarterback, that relationship is essential. It is vital to any success the Commanders want to have this year. If Sam Howell does not get along with Eric Bieniemy, who goes, right? Who's going to go? Are you going to fire the first-year OC, or are you going to bench the fifth-round rookie draft pick quarterback? It's going to be Howell. So Howell and Eric Bieniemy need to get this thing right. And as for everybody else, that's another thing. I know there's a lot of coaches still in today's world, where you think, oh, you can't do that with how soft everybody is. It still goes on. And there's a lot of coaches that do not take bleep from anybody or any player. So I do think it comes off initially as, oh, these players are soft. You know, the guy yells too much. You're an NFL player. But at the same time, given Bieniemy's track record, given his past, given the type of guy we know he is, like I said, I think it's 50-50, and I think they need to work together to make this thing work, because the NFC East, everybody else is pretty damn good. Eagles, defending NFC champs. Cowboys, as overrated as I think they are and everybody thinks they are, they still find a way to win 10, 11 games every year and get in the playoffs. And the Giants, coming off a playoff appearance last year, Commanders are the odd men out right now, and if they don't get this thing right, it's going to be a long year in D.C., and all those good vibes from getting Dan Snyder out the door are going to dissipate pretty quickly.
It's such a convoluted situation, because Bieniemy comes in on, you know, theoretically poised to be a head coach somewhere. Here's his last audition to actually run a unit, prove what he can do, answer any remaining doubts from other teams. And he's doing it for not a lame duck head coach, but Ron Rivera could be running out of time in Washington too. So if things don't go well, is Rivera out and Bieniemy the head coach there in the very, you know, short-ish term? As you were talking, there was a Tyreek Hill tweet on our monitor basically telling the Commanders, shut up, guys. Get tougher. Get to work. I know it's hard. I know it's tough, but it pays off in the end. So there's Tyreek Hill coming in defense of Eric Bieniemy. I think it also said no one has your back like EB either. But this is part of the confusion, right? And figuring out who gets the credit for the Chiefs, because it's Bieniemy and Andy Reid, and there have been other guys that have worked on that staff. And then, of course, there's Patrick Mahomes, who can wipe away any issues, overcome stuff. We don't know necessarily where Mahomes and Bieniemy were together. There have been rumors about their relationship. I'm now, I don't know, I think 5.5 episodes into the quarterback show on Netflix. I just got to the part where DA is featured in it, by the way, which we really haven't discussed in full just yet. And through 5.5 episodes, there really has not been any significant Mahomes-Bieniemy interaction. There's been a couple of sidelines. Hey, you missed that. We should do this. Yeah, I got you, coach. Go have a good one. There's been no... Andy Reid's been on camera. Other players have been on camera talking about Mahomes. There's been nothing with Mahomes and Bieniemy. I don't know if that means anything, but it's hard to know what Bieniemy gets credit for in KC, because he wasn't the lead offensive coach, and Reed is there, and Mahomes is there. So now he goes to Washington, and you want to tell the Commanders, hey, you guys aren't the Chiefs. If you want to be the Chiefs, shut up and listen to this guy, no matter what he's saying. But how instrumental? He was instrumental, but how instrumental was he to the Chiefs' success as he goes to Washington and takes things over there? But I think if depending on how you approach Eric Bieniemy in general, there are things to pull from in any direction from this story. But I think as far as we can sit here today, at least where I sit today, this is 60-40, maybe 70-30 about the players. Because it's not just them, you know, wanting to themselves about this. Going to the head coach to be like, this is kind of hard. Could he be nicer to us? Really says a lot, not necessarily complimentary things about them.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back. We're just underway on this Wednesday morning. It's Andrew Bogish in for DA. Pete's here. Ryan Bodger's here. We got a Pat Boyle in the studio as well. You jump aboard at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 at CBS Sports Radio. At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. It's Wednesday, so Champ and Chump coming up next hour on the show. Right now, your daily stapled sound check, best audio of the day. We begin on the diamond. We have spent some time already this week on this story, just how bad are things in the White Sox clubhouse. We have heard rumors of dudes sleeping in the bullpen, people missing workouts, maybe a slap fight between Tim Anderson and Yasmani Grandal. Lance Lynn is, it sounds, thankfully out of Chicago, now at Dodger. He was on the Foul Territory podcast with A.J. Pierzynski and was asked about those stories coming out of Chicago.
Lance, did you see what Keenan Middleton said when he got traded?
I did see what popped up yesterday, yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that, possibly?
I could say this. Let me tell you, I can tell you what Key was wrong about.
Okay.
We're ready.
I get it. You don't get it.
I get it.
So if you didn't get it, Lance Lynn did the trick of, I can tell you what was wrong about that story, and then he didn't say anything because there was nothing wrong about the story. And the story was from Keenan Middleton, another former White Sox player, pitcher, who went from Chicago to the Yankees. He said he was excited to go to the Yankees, gleefully shaved his beard because they have rules in New York, and he was happy to have rules. He was the one that told us about guys sleeping in the bullpen and whatnot. So Lance Lynn basically said all of that was true, even though we were told by the White Sox that the sleeping guy actually had permission to sleep whenever and wherever he wanted because he had sleep issues. So when he could fall asleep, he was allowed to sleep. They didn't tell anybody about that until the other players complained about this unnamed player sleeping at random times in random places. So there's Lance Lynn telling us that the White Sox brass is basically telling us BS and that things are as bad as we thought they were in Chicago. Let's stick with baseball for a second. This is Jimmy Rollins on TBS, and coming off the Astros being at the White House and Joe Biden making bad old man jokes at Dusty Baker, here's Rollins on TBS sharing a story about Jill Biden and Obama.
For a while, you know, Dr. Jill Biden would go to sleep with, I think it was my bobblehead on the side of the bed.
Uh-oh.
During the World Series in 08, she was cold, came to a game, and I was like, let's get her a jacket. They went and got any jacket. I'm like, no, get her my jacket. So they gave her that jacket, and, you know, she's been a fan since. And
so not a teddy bear,
speaking of the White House visits, quick story, when I went, it was, you know, for the championship celebration. And, of course, you know, the president plays basketball. So I was like, well, you know, when are you going to give me a chance, you know, to post you up? So he, you know, bagged me down. I put that arm in his lower back.
You let him know?
Nah. Then the security guards let me know. Secret Service, like, hey.
Jimmy,
I thought
on.
About it, and I was like, you got it, dog.
You got it.
Hey, you got it. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Hey, Brock, I'm still wearing that invite, bro.
That's Jimmy Rollins on TBS. The Bidens, as I think most of us know, They're from, well, they live in Delaware. They're definitely Philadelphia sports fans, hence Jill Biden having a Jimmy Rollins bobblehead on her nightstand, being at the World Series, Jimmy giving her a jacket. And of course, Jimmy Rollins wanted to back down Barack Obama.
We can get on a roll. We can do well.
Jimmy is as cool as they come, and I don't like being nice to Phillies, but he was a heck of a player, heck of a personality. And of course, he would have the you-know-whats to try and go one-on-one with Obama at the White House. Finally, the NBA. Scoot Henderson was the third pick in the NBA draft back in June, but he believes via the Playmaker Twitter account that he'll be the number one rookie after this season.
My goal, obviously, is to win Rookie of the Year, and I will win Rookie of the Year. Never doubting myself, making sure I'm always putting good energy in the air, making sure I'm telling myself I'm going to have a great rookie season. You know, I'm not saying I want to have a great rookie season. I'm going to have a great rookie season. I'm going to have a great career. I will have a great career, and making sure that's always in just past tense because it happened.
So here's the bad news for Scoot. I can't imagine, barring injury, that Victor Wembanyama is not the Rookie of the Year. It's going to take an all-time season from anybody else to jump Wembanyama, unless Victor just can't handle things in the NBA. If being 7'5" and 170 pounds ends up being a detriment, that he gets pushed around too much, or he gets hurt, or the Spurs are just that bad, or somehow he's not that good. But I mean, I don't know what the odds on this would be. Maybe the PB boys know, but you're not winning money on Victor Wembanyama winning Rookie of the Year. That's how much of a shoo-in it appears to be as we sit here in the middle of August. But it's good to have goals if you're Scoot Henderson, and he's the player I like the best in this draft after Wembanyama. So whether it's this year or not, to me, Scoot's going to be a heck of a player depending on who he's playing with those Blazers in Portland.
The PB boys have the odds for you.
Of course they do.
Courtesy of VegasInsider.com, Victor Wembanyama.
Who's that guy?
Victor Wembanyama.
Say it slow.
Wembanyama is anywhere between minus 120 and minus 140 favorite to win Rookie of the Year, which is, you feel like it would be higher, but those odds are pretty absurd.
So my son actually asked me the other day what that meant because it was going on the bottom of the MLB Network screen.
So he's getting into gambling.
Well, not exactly. He's 9.
Oh, really?
He doesn't have money to bet, but I don't think I explained it well enough to him. So if you are minus 120 or minus 140, what's the quickest way to explain that to dummies like me?
Whatever the minus is how much you have to pay to win $100.
Okay. And on the flip side is that's what you win if you bet 100.
Correct. Okay. Always use 100 as the baseline.
Okay. So I was right.
Although,
just stumbled through it.
If you want to use it with your son and you don't want to, have him start thinking that everybody's tossing $140 bucks on every bet they make, just take the zero off. So it would be $14 minus 140 is $14 bucks to win 10.
I mean, $10, 100 bucks. He doesn't have it. My wife and I have morals. We're not going to be the kid in Iowa State and give him a fake FanDuel account.
You have it, so you could bet for him.
I'm not going to bet for him.
Be a great school project.
Wouldn't it be?
You guys could be the AB boys. What's your kid's name, Jake?
Jake, yeah.
You could be the ABJB boys.
Speaking of the PB boys, though, we did have to call you out a little bit yesterday, and Bilotti tried to come to your defense, but the last time you were here pounding the desk, bet against the Mets,
yes.
And then they won 11-2 that night.
Yeah, and what did they do last night?
They lost last night.
Yeah.
By only one run, though.
Long-term bet.
So
stick with it. Let it ride.
So I did. So Monday night, and I said money line and run line. I know I said that. And then I realized that the Cubs were basically even odds against them. So I only took the Cubs money line. No, they were minus 135 Monday, I think.
Okay.
So I'm not basically trying to ever lay any juice on a money line for baseball. So I only took them on the run line. So I did lose the one bet on Monday night. They got crushed 11-2. Last night, I did just the money line because they were only minus 125.
Okay.
So it was a little bit shorter. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to lay the juice on just the money line. I did lay the juice. They did win 3-2. So 1-1 on the week. But
all
we
right.
Still have to cook up a home run parlay here, Pete.
I tried one myself yesterday. It didn't work.
Oh, really? What were the specifics?
It was Betts, Garcia from the Rangers, and one more. And none of them hit anything.
I'm starting to get nervous that we need to give you that number. 1-800-GAMBLING.
Yeah, right.
1-800-GAMBLU.
Because all of a sudden, you like to sneak in often the bets that you are making. Now, again, my assumption is these are $2 bets because I know how stingy you might be.
It's nothing bets.
But they do add up eventually.
Yeah.
We don't need you taking a third job. I guess isn't my concern here. No, they choose enough, Pete.
It's not. I am not a compulsive gambler.
Okay.
Again, yes.
yes.
Laying the groundwork for it. By 2072, I'll be there.
That's
the way you're going right
when
now.
When I start going to a dollar, then look out, world.
Right. When I start using paper money, I'll start calling numbers.
See?
One thing that doesn't help you bet on MLB games is how terrible the umpiring is. We did not spend enough time on Aaron Boone losing his mind two nights ago at Laz Diaz, home plate umpire. And then yesterday, one umpire, now he's a vacation replacement, which means he's up from AAA to fill in for a regular umpire, but he's still at AAA, and not every AAA umpire has the designation of vacation fill-in. So he was deemed a good AAA umpire, and within three innings of a game in Philadelphia yesterday, three of his calls were overturned. The first two were egregious. We'll get to that longer form in just a second. A few minutes of hour number one on this Wednesday morning. Unscheduled, but well-received. Get excited for it. It's Pete versus the body. Take it away.
Colin Cowherd is a disgrace to this business and a disgrace to everybody that works in it.
All right.
All of his takes and all the stuff that he gets factually wrong is a total embarrassment. Yesterday, he said Dwayne Haskins doesn't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Yes, because the man passed away. So maybe clean up your act. I know you have a big contract. Maybe clean up your act and then get back in the game. That's all I have to say.
There are a lot of people in this business that I don't agree with often. We have very different takes on things, but those are opinions, and you're entitled to an opinion. It's right, it's wrong, it's good, it's bad, but it's an opinion. I will agree that the amount of factual mistakes that show makes is startling. I mean, it's a joke now. Guys on wrong teams, and this one probably is the worst of the bunch, because not only did Dwayne Haskins pass away at an unfortunate age, but it was a real story. I mean, he passed away tragically, not because he was sick, like he got hit by a truck on the highway after a very well-publicized exit from Washington. I mean, of all the things, you can misplace people or forget that somebody moved teams, but to forget Dwayne Haskins passed away to the extent where you put him on a list of quarterbacks that can't win the Super Bowl, that's a lot of people also not doing their job. And Pete's right in that we're just supposed to be better. We're just supposed to be better than that. Like, that's the thing I care about most. I might have a bad opinion on something. You might not agree with me. And then, I would prefer you to agree with me. But if I make a factual error, it bothers me for at least the rest of the day.
I don't mean to interrupt, but there's some things in this business lately that there's no standard for anymore. We've gotten lazy, and that's one of them. Just throw things out and throw it against the wall like Gallagher and expect us to react. It's a total embarrassment.
Right. But even if you're saying like Aaron Rodgers is the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, your opinion, and it might be dumb, but it's just your opinion. But if you were going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are the favorites to win the NFC North right now, you probably shouldn't have a microphone on in front of you on any radio station, let alone multiple radio stations across the country and on TV show.
Correct.
Very quickly, me versus MLB umpires. In particular yesterday, I think his name was Lou Williams. He was up replacing somebody who was working first base, Phillies Nationals yesterday, and the same batter, Nick Castellanos, hit a ball in the third baseline, diving play. The third baseman from Washington threw from his butt across the diamond. Dom Smith at first base catches the ball after Nick Castellanos has crossed first base, and he's called out. And then they throw a pickoff to Castellanos. After that initial call is overturned to save, Smith swipes the tag, gets Castellanos late. Again, Nick is called out. Again, they go to review. Again, it's overturned. And both times, Dom Smith doesn't know what to do because he knows both calls are horribly wrong and are getting overturned. His stunned look around like, okay, guys, let's be quiet. Nobody mentioned that. The reaction to me is the best part of the whole thing. But if you're an MLB umpire, full-time or vacation, you've just got to be better than that.
And now, let's get started.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
All right, it's 7:42 in the morning on the East Coast. That's 4:42 a.m. West Coast, in case you didn't know that. So how about I make you all hungry? On Sunday, Leo Messi played his first ever game in Frisco as Inter Milan were visiting FC Dallas. Messi's been tearing it up since he joined, but who cares? He was upstaged by FC Dallas's new generational menu item, the XL Ice Cream Sandwich.
Okay.
Toyota Stadium began selling the sandwich. It costs $15.
Okay.
But it's worth the money. You're getting a bargain for your buck, bang for your buck here. It features 18 ounces of vanilla ice cream.
I'm listening.
And it takes 12 combined chocolate chip cookies to make the sandwich, the cookie bread, if you will. It is massive. Massive.
I've seen a picture. It's probably Frisbee-sized.
Yeah, it's definitely bigger than a normal hamburger.
Yes.
Like, if you hold it in your hands, it's huge.
What do you call it? Disc golf? I called it frolf when I was in college.
Frolf?
Like the frisbee golf.
Yeah, so they're like a little bit smaller than normal frisbees?
Yes.
It's probably still even a little bit smaller than that, but I mean, it, like, you know, the pictures that I'm looking at of people holding it in their hands.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Now, a lot of these types of ballpark foods that are basically challenges. Like, here's an obscene amount of whatever on top of a foot-long or a two-foot-long hot dog. It's made for two people to eat. Some of those are too much. I don't need it. This one, I would pay $15 for in a second. Ice cream sandwiches, delicious. Underrated dessert. Whether you want to go, like, traditional like this, just chocolate chip cookie and some ice cream in between. You want to go fancy, start rolling the outside in some kind of topping, change the cookie, change the ice cream. I'm there for all of it. My only concern with this is, can you eat it before it melts and becomes just a big thing of slop in your hands?
Yeah, that would be a question. That would be a challenge, especially in Frisco. I don't think it's very
right.
cold there most of the year. So especially in August when they did this on Sunday, you got to eat that puppy fast and you're going to feel really crappy about yourself after. Not the only food promo we have to highlight here. Really quickly, last week I noticed the Miami Marlins were jumping. They used a player to highlight a new promo. They acquired Jake Berger from the White Sox at the trade deadline. So to boost ticket sales in Miami in August, because let's be honest, they need it. How about, you guessed it, Berger Burgers.
Okay.
$5 burgers at Lone Depot Park in Miami. They weren't, you know, massive or anything like the XL ice cream sandwich, but it's the price that drew fans in and money. A bucket of chicken tenders and fries will cost you $20 at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So imagine a burger for $5, and it worked. In the win last week against the Phils, the Marlins had an estimated 800% jump in burger sales.
Really?
The team said it sold 2,100 burgers during the game, and that's on a Wednesday. That's a game that had a listed attendance of just over 12,000. So imagine how many people were actually there. For comparison, the Marlins said they sold about 530 burgers Saturday with a crowd of 32,000. Jake Berger bringing the burgers.
Does it still exist or is it done? Was it just that one day?
I think it was just that one day.
All right. Well, at least it worked for them for one day.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As promised, now we're talking baseball with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, it's Andrew in New York. How are you this morning?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, Bob. Let's begin with the Orioles. I'm sure you're not surprised by their, I don't know what the right word is, their insensitivity, their bad punishment of Kevin Brown, but it surprised me that they haven't fixed it. People really freaked out Monday. Now we're Wednesday, and I guess Kevin's coming back on Friday, but should by now the Orioles have said something publicly and apologize and try to move away from this?
You would think so. So it looks like they're hoping it just goes away. People forget about it. And when you have your crowd chanting for him, it's not a good sign. I mean, the fortunate part is if this was the old Orioles, like nobody would care. And now the fact that it's one of the best feel-good stories in all of baseball, you don't want to be talking about, you know, a broadcaster being suspended. You'd rather be talking about, you know, the team on the field.
And that team on the field, first place right now in the AL East, but how good are they? Bigger picture in your mind, can they win the American League? Can they be a World Series team?
You know, they can. I mean, that's I love the fact they, we're all in, not all in, but at least they went into trade deadline by getting Jack Flaherty. And, you know, last year they, you know, traded away guys. You know, this year they say, you know what, we got a chance. And they do. When you look around, I mean, they were toe to toe with Houston. I mean, it's Houston, Texas, and Baltimore, you know, probably, right there as far as all together. And I can discount Toronto, but I think the American League is wide open.
The Rays might have been in that mix, but now Shane McClanahan is probably done for the year with an elbow injury. Does that kind of erase all of your confidence in them, or can they still make some noise in October?
I think it still makes some noise. They still have a very good chance, of course, to win the AL East just because those guys have been there before. You know, Baltimore guys haven't. And, that's what I think, you know, gives them a slight edge before the McClanahan injury. I mean, that's the third guy per pitcher now that's gone Tommy John surgery. You wonder. And they've only been playing a little bit better than 500 balls since that great start. That being said, I mean, those guys, you know how to win. They've been to these pennant stretches before. I don't discount them, but that's a massive blow, particularly in the playoffs.
It does feel to me, at least, Bob, that there's a lot of arm injuries for Rays pitchers. Are they doing something different? Do they need to take a look at that? Is that an actual problem, or am I kind of misremembering their history of arm troubles for pitchers?
No, you're right. I mean, they, people talk about that in the game. You know, why? So it's like these, you know, the Rays, you know, get them, you know, chew them up, spit them out, and we'll go to the next guy. But yeah, something funny is going on. Of course, a lot of these guys, you know, they throw, you know, 101, 102 miles an hour, and they don't throw any other pitches. And it's like, just learn to become a pitcher. You don't have to throw as fast as you can and blow out your arm. So, but you're right. It seems like it happens to them more than any other team, particularly any other good team.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today is with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bob, what do you know about how bad things are in that White Sox clubhouse?
You know, it's bad. I've talked to enough guys in there. But it's been that way for, you know, for a while now. Guys just aren't happy there. They're losing. You know, I think they need to break that thing up. Just, you know, change the mix in there. You know, I think with the Pedro Grifol walked in a tough situation, and, you know, one player said as soon as Ken La Russa left, it was almost like a substitute teacher coming in, just, you know, everybody running amok type thing. You know, they had rules, but, you know, if a guy broke a rule, it wasn't like he was being harshly disciplined or something like that. So I do think they need to change that mix up in there and kind of start over with a you know, a bunch of guys, because they come across too much as a team that doesn't care about whether they win or lose.
Does this problem start at the top? I mean, you can't change the owners, but do you need to change the guys who would change the roster to try and fix all this?
Well, I think you certainly have to change that mix in the clubhouse, you know, trade those guys away. and start over that way. I mean, it's the same, you know, underachieving group, and it doesn't matter who's a manager. I think it was very unfair when there, you know, people pointing the fingers at Tony La Russa. Here he is battling serious health concerns, blaming La Russa for the problems, and then saying, okay, the new guy, Pedro Grifol, who had been passed over, you know, three times by the Royals, will you know, fix things. You know, that's not true. You know, it wasn't La Russa's fault. You know, some of these guys had to look themselves in the mirror, say, okay, what can I do to, you know, make myself better? Because they've underachieved now. You know, really since the 2021 season when they won the division by so many games.
Bob, the Angels finally won last night for the first time since the trade deadline, but there's still seven games out of a wild card spot. The Red Sox, the Yankees, Mariners, all between them and the Blue Jays. Are the Halos done? Or with Mike Trout kind of coming back soon, is there any reason to hold on to their wild card hopes?
Well, I think they're close to being done. It's just such a big obstacle. I mean, they you know, seven back with less than 50 games to play. Yeah, that's a tough ask. But I still do say they did the right thing by keeping Ohtani and adding on to it, because that's the only chance to keep Ohtani. If you didn't have any desire to keep him or say, okay, I'm not going to spend $500 million, you know, then go ahead and trade him away and don't add. But at least this gives them a chance to stay. I mean, nobody thought Mike Trout would stay either, and he did. So I think the same thing with Ohtani. I think they have a better chance to keep him than a lot of people think.
I mean, if you could put a percentage on those chances, what would it be? 20%, 30, north, and, you know, closer to 50? What do you think the actual odds of him staying in Anaheim are?
Yeah, I would say maybe a 1-in-3 chance type thing, you know, over, you know, 33%, something like that. I mean, you think about it, there's not too many teams that are even going to be in the picture offering that kind of money. You know, they're going to be West. It's going to be the Dodgers will be there, the Giants, you know, the Padres always spend wildly. So I think those teams along with the Angels. So, you know, at least it's got to show them something that they didn't turn them away and they actually added a little bit at the deadline, you know, trying to help their chances.
Bob, when you look at the National League as a whole, is it the Dodgers, or maybe it's not because of their pitching rotation, the injuries there? Who's the team that actually could keep the Braves from winning the pennant?
I think the Dodgers are pretty much the only team. I'm not going to discount Milwaukee because now they have Brandon Woodruff back. Corbin Burns is pitching lights out. So I don't discount them because of the pitchers. But yeah, Dodgers, amazing. I mean, you know, this was a team that wasn't supposed to do anything. They didn't do anything in the free agent market. You know, pretty much stayed pat at the trade deadline. Everybody's giving the division to San Diego Padres. And here they are again. I mean, this was everybody's chance to finally knock off the Dodgers, and nobody did it. You know, you worry about their pitching. They have a, you know, tremendous offense. But, yeah, I think it'll come down to Dodgers-Atlanta, you know, once again with, you know, Milwaukee kind of, you know, lurking around.
And then those Padres, you just mentioned them. They're four out right now. There's a handful of teams between them and that last wild card spot. We've been waiting for them to get going. They still haven't gotten going. Should we keep waiting, or is this the San Diego team that we're going to get all year long where they just can't get over that hump and they're going to miss the playoffs?
I don't think anything's going to change. I mean, it's gone on like this, you know, for the entire season. And we're going on 5 months and nothing has changed. You know, and everybody talked about the Mets with the payroll and the underachieving. But I think if these guys miss the playoffs, I think it's the most underachieving team in baseball history. I really do. They're just loaded with talent. I think 11 All-Stars on that team. And you walk in that clubhouse in spring training, you know, it was like the Yankees and Red Sox combined as far as just all the media was in there because of all the stars. But there's no way in a weak NL race where, you know, teams like the Diamondbacks are just two games out after just, you know, stinking the place up since the All-Star break, you know, you can't get in. But they're showing no life at all.
Bob, when you read between the lines of what Steve Cohen is saying, the Mets are saying as an organization, how do you think they handle this winter and building a team for 2024?
I think they'll just do it like a little bit like the Dodgers last year in the free agent market. Just be very modest. It's being particularly you were talking about, okay, we're not going to win in 24. We're gearing up for 25 and 26. All they said is, you know, we hope to have a competitive team. So I think they'll stay out of the free agent market. You know, I don't think Otani's going to go there anyway. You know, but that includes Otani and some of the big name, free agent starters. I just don't see them jumping in there. You know, not after what they've done. I think it would be interesting what they do with Pete Alonso. I think they'll make him available and see what they get in return. You know, if they're going to sign him to contract extension, they certainly would have done so by now, particularly when they're signing everybody else last moment.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering, too, if Pete wants to be a Met long-term. Like, maybe that's the problem here, is that they know that he wants to go somewhere else. Because we're sitting here in New York, and that is now the question surrounding the Mets is, what do they do with him? And like you just said, more and more kind of makes sense, at the very least, explore what could be out there for him in a trade.
Yeah, and I think if somebody really wanted him at the trade deadline, you know, would have been a high asking price that they would have moved him. Obviously, you're dealing with a fan favorite, how popular he is and stuff. You know, we don't know what he's seeking to for an extension. But I did find it odd that when they were trying to lock everybody else up, bring back their free agents and, you know, add on, that there was never any talk at all about, hey, what about Pete Alonso?
Bob, last thing, we had Aaron Boone flipping out the other night at Laz Diaz, who has often gotten the ire of managers. We had the guy in the Phillies-Nats game yesterday have three calls overturned, almost back-to-back-to-back, and I know he was a vacation replacement. But does MLB think its umpires are as bad as we do on the outside? Do they think it's a problem that needs to be addressed, or are they kind of cool with the crew of guys calling games these days?
No, I think they think everything is fine. And I mean, you hate to see, you know, calls overturned like that, particularly last night by the same young umpire. But, you know, all their scores and everything else, and the umpire's never been better. The umpire still complained about that box on TV,
right,
saying that's not exactly right. And, I think it does get, it frustrates the umpires and everything else. Like, okay, if this is the strike zone, you know, swing the bat. I think too many people are, you know, complain, like, okay, the ball's, you know, a tenth of an inch outside. You know, what's wrong with just swinging the bat and trying to get a hit instead of everybody looking for a walk? I've never seen so many people excited to get a walk in my life. driving some runs.
You should have seen me as a bad high school hitter accepting all walks thrown my way. That was better than me making an out. Bob, as always, we appreciate the info. Thanks for getting up for us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you.
Of course, that's Bob Nightingale, USA Today, as we spin around the diamond, approaching the midpoint of August. There are, as he said, about 50 games left. That's a lot of baseball, but it's also not a lot of baseball. And if you know you're the Padres or the Angels or anybody else on the periphery just hanging on to that wild card chase, it's time to finally get it in gear before there's no games left for you to make that charge that we've been waiting for you to make here all summer long.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, Pete wanted you to say nice things about him, and he basically got his wish. He came up with today's poll question: who is the Andrew Kaplan MVP of the show today? Myself, Pete, Boyle, and Botcha were the choices. And Pete and Boyle, the PB boys, as I'm looking at it right now, are tied with 31% of the vote apiece.
Oh, doctor.
That leaves me in bronze medal position with 26% of the votes. And then Ryan Botcher matching his age, just 12% of the votes as show MVP today. Let the record show that I voted for Botcher since he booked both Richard Deitch and Bob Nightingale. And that's more work than any of the three of us did combined since yesterday's show ended to get ready for today's show. Advanced Analytics will tell you, and maybe you should have voted for me if I tell you this, I scored 19 points as a sophomore in JV basketball. 19 points for the season, not in a game, but I did score just one as a freshman. So unofficially, going from 1 to 19 points is a New York City high school record in terms of percentage increase from season to season.
How about that?
That's according to me. Pete is a big fan of desk plants. Ryan gave up playing sports at the young age of 15 to become an assistant coach in high school, working on Chef Step, I believe, and Boyle is allergic to penicillin.
That's right.
And speaking of Boyle, he is not allergic to Hawaiian shirts. Your epic fail is Boyle on Island Time.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I told Chris Lopresti down the hall that I am on Island Time.
Still. Well, is this a post-vacation thing or just a general life
just
decision?
Just a general life decision. Okay. I'm always on Island Time from now on, Bogues. I'm not going to get angry about things.
Yeah?
Aunt Joni, she got me steamed up the other day. Maybe it's because Aunt Joni is a... I'm a cool guy now. I'm a chill guy.
So how long does that last? So 9 a.m. Eastern?
Now, is there a formula to the number of buttons you have unbuttoned on that shirt? Or is there a geographical mark on your chest?
I try to tiptoe the line of what is acceptable.
And I think you're right at that line, correct, Pete? I mean, one more button would be unacceptable. This one is barely acceptable.
He always has one thing every day.
Honestly, the thought process was, if I undo this next button, when
you're
I see our
naked
boss today, later this morning, is he going to say something about it?
Now,
he's going to call you a beta loser.
A beta? Why would I be called a beta? For sure, popping the chest, letting the chest pop, Pete. Come off as a loser?
Mm-hmm. I think you can go one more button, and you just did.
I just did.
Great.
Party, it's a party now. Shoes are off.
Help!
It's a Pina Colada Wednesday.
How about I take it down another button, baby girl?
Help!
Why don't you oil up this chest?
Help!
Wow. Nice. Watch DA.com numbers, YouTube numbers, going to peak right now.
Nice.
Dipping.
Nice and slow.
Roxy in San Diego just passed out.
Moist Pork just passed out.
Moist Pork just threw his iPad in the river. However he's watching just got tossed out the window.
That goes Shlomo's Expo hat.
It's down over his eyes. Tell me when it's over.
Cover your eyes, Shlomo.
Put it on.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Don't forget a brand new PGP should be in your podcast inbox, if that's a thing. In a little more than an hour from now, we'll tape it after the show, me and Pete, me and Botcher. Tomorrow on the show, it's me, it's Pete, it's Ryan, it's a Peter Schwartz appearance. He's here on Friday as well. Thanks to our guest this morning, the one and only Richard Deitch of The Athletic, the one and only Bob Nightingale of USA Today. While Pat and Pete share the Andrew Kaplan MVP of the show today award, a quick write-in push from Moist Pork, who did so much to make today's show possible, so we thank him as always for his contributions. I believe Pete is still on the wheels of steel, so I thank him for that. Thanks to Botcher, thanks to Boyle, thanks to you for listening and or watching. Enjoy your Wednesday. We will see you on Thursday. The Mothership disconnects.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone.
So, it's interesting because...
star 6 to unmute.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.